time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, you wonder why we talk about God's vintage truth? Because God's truth is the only thing that can cut through the haze and the fog and the white noise of everything that's going on today. You know, people are walking around today just emoting and thinking their own thoughts, thinking erroneously that they understand what's real. They understand the truth. And unless we are connected to God, we cannot know what is really true. We can know some things, but we can't know what truth is about life. And that's why we call this the Vintage Truth Podcast, because we want to talk about what is true from God's perspective so that you can be a discerning Christian in the world today. And, you know, I believe along with what John MacArthur has said is that the greatest need in the church today is discernment. We are a nation, a church of undiscerning individuals. And primarily that is because we are not engaging in the scripture, many times not very deeply from the pulpit, but more importantly, not in our own personal lives as well. And that's why I make these podcasts for you. And so I hope you enjoy them. If you'd like to help me continue to do this, then feel free to check out my website, jeffkinley.com. If you'd like to partner with me in supporting this podcast ministry on a monthly basis and for any amount, just click on that donate tab and you can check that out as well. Hey, one final thing. I know I've said this many times before. You're probably sick of me saying this, but I really want you to check out this prophecyatsea.com, where five of us prophecy speakers are going to be going on this Caribbean cruise down to Mexico this summer. And it's going to be an amazing time together. Prophecyatsea.com. You can check it out. It's very affordable. And also, you can check out all the benefits. You can see video and footage of the boat we're going to be on, where we're going, everything. And just check it out. If you have any questions, there's a place online there you can ask any questions. And if you have anything you want to ask me about it, you can feel free to shoot me an email as well or click on that contact button on jeffkinley.com. Okay? Hey, I know we're talking about atheism. And I've been equipping you on how to respond to the different objections to the existence of God from people who call themselves atheists. And remember, we said at the very beginning that an atheist is someone who professes that there is no God. An agnostic is someone who says, well, I don't know, or I'm unsure, or I'm checking it out. Okay. But an atheist is someone who vehemently denies the existence of God. And even more so, and more often, they end up attacking you for your beliefs and for why you believe what you believe. And as we've seen, there are many ways to answer these objections. And we were talking in the last episode about hypocrites, because yeah, there are hypocrites everywhere. And we had talked about the fact that, yeah, we recognize that we're hypocritical. Hey, guess what? So are atheists as well. They're hypocrites about what they say they believe sometimes too. They don't always act in perfect congruence with what they say they believe. We also said that Jesus hated hypocrisy, and he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees out on it. We said that Christianity ultimately stands or falls with Jesus, not his followers. That doesn't excuse his followers, but just means that ultimately that's not what what makes Christianity true. I would also say this, is that not every person who goes to a church or who claims to be a Christian is indeed a Christian. Some hypocrites, some people that atheists call hypocrites are not even Christians to begin with. They're pretenders, they're fakes, they're forgeries, they're counterfeits. And Jesus talked about these people in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to talk about those people that that may have outward professions of faith or have some sort of affinity to Christianity, but they're actually not Christians. You know, there are people who are just really good religious people. So profession of Christianity doesn't always mean possession of it. And I would say this too, as an illustration. I would say to our atheist friend, John, anything that is of true value can and has been faked for the genuine article. I mean, gold. There's fake gold, silver, there's money, counterfeit currency. But here's the thing. The fact that counterfeit money exists does not mean that there is not such a thing as real money. So to use the argument to say that counterfeit Christians or hypocrite Christians prove that there's no God is an invalid argument, because you're saying the same thing about money. If there's counterfeit money, there can't really be real. No, that proves that there's real money. There would be no counterfeit if there was no genuine article. It proves just the opposite of the atheist argument. If it weren't for the real thing, there would be no forgeries. A cheap reproduction of the Mona Lisa doesn't devalue or completely dismiss the existence of the original Mona Lisa. I've seen the original Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris. It's there. But I've also seen fakes of it as well. So hypocrites aren't Christians for going to church any more than someone going swimming makes them a fish. And they're non-Christians who go to church. Hypocrites are everywhere, man. They're on the baseball team, at the country club, they're at school, they're at work. Hypocritical doctors, lawyers, rock and roll musicians, actors, scholars, athletes, and atheists. So the church is not the exclusive dealer of hypocrites. So you can't condemn the church unless you're also ready to remove yourself from every other segment of society that contains hypocrites as well. And I would say there's one more place that also contains hypocrites to our atheist friend John, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, hell is also a place of hypocrites. So I would say this, would you rather spend a few hours a week in church with a few of the world's hypocrites, or would you rather spend all eternity with every one of them in hell? So if you really dislike hypocrites, atheist friend, then don't do something as stupid as being locked up forever with them in hell. So just because they're hypocrites has zero bearing on whether or not God exists. Let me give you one final argument that atheists sometimes pose to Christians. They'll say something like, well, if God's real, then where is he? Where is he? And I've had people say this to me before. Well, if God will just appear to me right now, then I will believe in him. If he'll just appear to me. And here's what I say to that. And this is easy. Hey, John, just because you can't see something or you haven't found something yet, certainly doesn't mean it isn't there. It may mean that, but it may not mean that. I mean, you could say, well, I haven't found, you know, a planet made of marshmallows in the universe. Well, probably not going to, but it doesn't automatically mean that there can't be something like that just because you haven't seen it. So that's a bad argument. Listen, I mentioned this, alluded to this before in a previous podcast, but when Russian cosmonaut German Titoy said, when he returned from space, he said this, quote, some people say there's a God out there, but in my travels around the earth, I saw no God or angels. I don't believe in God. I believe in man, end quote. But you see, that's like chipping away at a statue expecting to find the sculptor somewhere buried deep inside. The creation is the effect of God. It's not God himself. Again, the Mona Lisa. You don't scratch the paint off the Mona Lisa and find Da Vinci living inside there. Creation doesn't contain the creator. It simply points to him. So, again, just because the atheist or the agnostic hasn't been everywhere, he can't say with absolute certainty that God is not out there. And again, as we said before, it could be possible that the atheist doesn't realize that God's existence could be just beyond the realm of his present knowledge. In fact, it may be within his grasp and he doesn't even know it. It may be a lot simpler to find God than the atheist realizes, because really atheism and people not coming to a knowledge of God's existence is not so much an issue of they can't. They intellectually can't, because when you present the evidence to them, then they kind of have to admit that it's possible. But it's more of an issue of they just won't, or they just don't want to. It's an issue of not an issue of their intellect, but an issue of their heart. And again, you know, use the same argument. It's like when you were, you know, age 4, you didn't know that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States until at age 10, you learned that in school. But your lack of knowledge when you were 4 years old did not invalidate the reality of the fact that Abraham Lincoln once existed. The only thing it validates is your ignorance. So for an atheist to claim that there's no God and there is a possibility that there is a God, but he just hasn't discovered that yet, really only validates his ignorance. It doesn't validate him as a superior intellect. It does just the opposite. It's also possible that atheists have just simply missed the truth about God and it's already been presented to them. You know, like missing an exit on a freeway. Maybe he's just simply chosen to ignore the evidence that's been presented to them. So it all boils down to Mr. Atheist, John, our friend here. John, are you willing to be brutally honest with yourself? That's number one. Number two, are you willing to examine the evidence? That's number two. And number three, are you willing to be skeptical, not just about God and his existence, but are you willing to be skeptical about your own skepticism? If you're a true skeptic, are you going to doubt even your own doubts? Those three things. Are you honest? Are you honest? And are you willing to listen to the evidence, and will you doubt your own doubts? So let's ask this question. In the next podcast, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to conclude this series here. But let's ask the question in fairness. So what evidence has God left us that he does exist? Okay. What is the evidence there? I'd like to give you just five evidences for the existence of God in this and the next podcast here. Okay. Here we go. Let's go ahead and jump into them. Number one, and these are like voices crying out for us, for the atheists to listen to. Okay. So number one, I would say do this. Listen to creation. Listen to creation. I mean, think about this. The Milky Way is 100,000 years, light years across, and contains an estimated 100 billion stars. And it's one of billions known universes. So even more mind-boggling than that is the closest galaxy to us is 200,000 light years away. And if the Earth were any further or closer away from the sun, it would either burn up or freeze up. And the Bible says that in Romans chapter 1 and Psalm 19 and Isaiah 45 and Job 12, there's so many different passages in the scripture that talk about the creation being evidence for the creator. That's a claim, okay? And you say, well, I don't believe the Bible. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible. The point is the Bible's making that claim. And you have to, as an honest person who's examining the evidence, you have to look at the claim and see if there's validity there. And I would encourage atheists to study the creation from all points of view. Don't just look at the tired old theory of evolution that people are punting, you know, but look at the evidence for creation being the display of God's glory. I mean, how did we get here? We'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes here. But that's one thing the atheist has to do and that's what God says. God put the creation in the sky, he put the creation all around us so that we would look at it and go, oh, how did this get here? It's bigger than me. Oh, look, there's design. Oh, look, there's intelligence. Oh, look, there's something that's greater than I am. I wonder if somebody put that there for me to see. And what does that say about this being? He must be supreme. He must be powerful. He must be divine. He must be greater than me. I must not be him. And all those things are what God wants us to come to conclude as a result of looking at creation. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that this is the basic evidence. Now, here's why I put this first, is because Romans chapter 1 tells us that if you deny the fact that God is creator, if you deny the existence of a God-made creation, then there is there's a penalty to that. God puts you in the penalty box. And what happens is that he claims, now this is a claim that you have to investigate. God says through what has, that you can clearly see and understand that he exists through what has been made. That he has invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen. And he says, if you deny that there is a possibility that God made this, then God says the penalty for that is that you have he makes your mind become and your heart become darkened. So he gives you light to see that he exists. He gives that to every man and woman, a boy and girl. He gives you light. And if you reject that light, he'll dim your vision and you won't be able to see it as clearly. So you must confront this issue of creation, or else you suffer the penalty. And that's why you can't accept the other things, other evidences that God gives you, because you've rejected the fact that he is the creator. There's so much more I could say about that, but let's move on to evidence number two. Voice number two, God says, listen to your conscience. See, your conscience is the part of us that tells us right from wrong. Or as one little boy put it, it's the part of you that makes you tell your mother before your sister does, you know, about something that you've done. But have you ever wondered this? Why does, and I would say this to the atheist, why does every culture on earth, from the most sophisticated and advanced to the most underdeveloped and primitive, all have a sense of right and wrong? Everybody does. Everybody. It's all there. It's ingrained within them. Could it be that the knowledge that someone greater than us exists because we instinctively know basic right and wrong? You know what I'm saying? And in fact, Romans 1 tells us this. Romans chapter 2 tells us this, that there is a basic moral law written in our hearts, Romans 2:15 says. And Romans 1:19 tells us that God has made what is known about him evident to us. There's a conscience. There's human conscience. And when we reject the conscience, the basic morality, I mean, you go anywhere, the jungles of Papua New Guinea, they'll have a moral code there. You don't steal from your neighbor. You don't kill your neighbor's child. You don't take your neighbor's wife. I mean, some of them also may have immoral laws, but they also have this basic moral. And some of them are the same laws that we find in the Ten Commandments. Just basic human morality. Why is that true everywhere? That I believe is evidence that God has placed. In fact, God claims he's placed that within us. And it's God's witness to us. So if his creation is his witness to us in the world, then conscience is his witness to us in our hearts or in our minds. One is an external witness and the other is an internal witness. So listen to creation. Listen to conscience. Are you honest? Are you listening? Here's the third evidence. Listen to common sense. Common sense or logic. Now, how could God use common sense and reason to tell us that he's there? So strap on your thinking caps. I'm going to give you three ways. We're not going to finish this in this podcast. We're going to continue this on the next one. But I want to begin with this one. He's given us some arguments here. Here's Exhibit A, like in a courtroom. Okay, Exhibit A is the argument from cause and effect. And we talked about this briefly earlier. And here's how this goes. It begins with A, every effect has a cause. We all agree with that, atheist, Christian. B, the universe is an effect. C, therefore the universe has a cause. Now, they say it's the Big Bang, but we talk about infinite regress, and that can't be true, ultimately. So put simply, here's how it works. Nothing comes from nothing, and something comes from something. Take a skyscraper. Common sense tells you that something caused that skyscraper to be, to exist, namely thousands of workmen over several years' times. In the same way, a watch would be an example. A watch demands a watchmaker. Logic demands a cause for things. And because man exists, logic demands that there was a cause. Because the universe exists, logic demands that there is a cause. And we've already seen that God has said, I am the cause. That's what he's saying. So you have logic that everybody would agree, the cause and effect argument, everybody agrees with that. But the Bible's now saying, okay, I have an answer for what the cause is. You may have an answer. You may say it's evolution. You may say it came from this big bang about the size of a, you know, pineapple or whatever, that these elements, we don't know where they came from though, caused the big bang. But you can't answer where that came from. So God is at least giving you evidence. He's making a claim. And one of the evidences of this common sense, this logic in the world today, is that you can't get something from nothing. There has to be an original first cause. So if you see "Drink Coke" written in the sky, logic tells you something wrote that, that planes wrote that, and that clouds don't automatically write those kinds of things. So when you see the complexity of the human mind and everything that we are, it tells us there must be a cause, a creator. More next time. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com. Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.